So next week, we're going to start a new series from Galatians. So it's our last summer in the Psalms. One, and Passionate's going to speak. And I just want to encourage. So here's my little thing, and Passionate, thanks for helping us out this morning. And thanks to Adam who spoke last week. So here's the thing. Okay, when I speak, which I speak quite often, you are a very polite bunch, okay? And you're taking notes and everything. But can I just say this, okay? Adam just read out, Jesus redeems people from all cultures, backgrounds, tongue, tribe, nations. And so when Passionate preaches in Zim, people participate a bit more than they do in Canada. Is that correct, Passionate? So when Passionate does a, you know, something and he's looking for a response, can I just encourage us, let's respond and let's not even wait. There we go. Let's not even wait for Passionate. Let's encourage. And can I just say, you can do this every week, okay? And I know for some of you, it's out of your comfort zone. That's okay. You don't have to. But I just want to do that preamble, Passionate. We're with you. And thanks for bringing God's word this morning.
So I just introduced you that video. Joy is so good, he always brings his props. I like to bring kind of like short videos. And thanks for that wonderful introduction, Joe, for encouraging the church to respond. Sometimes I feel like I'm bothering people and invading their privacy in church, you know, and I'm asking you to respond. So if you play that video that we just played, it is asking a question, what are you thankful for? Keep that in mind as we go. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are God. We thank you that you are Father. We thank you that you care for us. We are here today, not by our own making, not by our intelligence, or whatever connections we have. We are here because of your love. We are here because of your grace. We are here because of your mercy. In the mighty name of Jesus. And as such, God, we pray that you give us more revelation of who you are. And I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, would experience you in the name of Jesus, would meet with you one-on-one in the mighty name of Jesus, just like you met with Saul, God, and turned him into another man. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, I pray, I'm just a vessel. I pray for your church, that as I share your word, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you explain it better to your people. In the mighty name of Jesus. For some that need encouragement, Lord, encourage them. For some that need to be challenged, God, challenge them. For some who need to be given hope, Lord, give them hope. For areas where we need to repent, God, let it be so that we do not miss your move as your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. So I've been tasked to preach today from Psalm 100. I think this is the first time Joe has ever. I'm clearing my space so that I can move around here. Yes. Would you believe it when I tell you that, anyway, we can, yes, that's the slide. A reason to praise and thank God, taken from Psalm 100. Would you believe it if I tell you that I used to be highly, highly introverted? You don't believe that? I used to be one of the quietest people you will ever find. Thank you. Thank you. I know many people have suspected that I might have ADHD, you know, and stuff like that because of the energy that I have, you know. But I used to be one of the quiet people. What happened? When I met Jesus, my life changed. I used to be that kind of, oh, by the way, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with introverts. Sorry about that. Introverts are amazing people. I married one. You can talk for 5 hours and they'll just be listening to you. And they summarize it all in 2 minutes and say, this is what you're trying to say. Then I go like, yes. So, I want to speak on a title that's called A Reason to Praise and Thank God. I used to be like that. And then I met Jesus. And then he turned my life around. I think God wanted me to have this energy. You know? So many times people see me and they ask me in many different walks like, where do you get the energy from? I don't need coffee, as you can see. I just have enough coffee storage in my system. And people are like, where do you get this energy from? It's because when I got born again, God gave me joy. I'm not saying God didn't give you joy if you're not as energetic as I am. Just keep drinking your coffee. That's how God is working through you. You know? So, standing in front of you today, I'm excited to talk to the church about that. We all have a reason to praise God. Since Joe did it so well for me, I always like for us to teach and talk to each other. Can you look at your neighbor and tell them, you have a reason to praise God? Hallelujah, church. You know, sometimes in life, let me read the scripture. Let's read the scripture before I get carried away. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and delight. Come before his presence with joyful singing. Know and fully recognize with gratitude that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with a song of thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy and loving kindness are everlasting. His faithfulness endures to all generations. Some of you thought, oh, this African guy is weird because I always say God is good. And all the time, it's very scriptural. So whenever we come to the house of God, God wants us to shout praise. God wants us to be joyful. God wants us to be happy people. Things might not always be okay. Things might not always be going right. You might maybe like Rebecca and I having a 9-month-old baby, have had a sleepless night. But whenever you wake up, you know, shout joyfully to God. Praise his name. That's what God desires for the church. Let's just go to the next slide. Now, what is praise? It is an expression of admiration and reverence of God's greatness, his character, and his works. It focuses on acknowledging who God is, his power, his majesty, his holiness, and other divine attributes. What is thanksgiving? An expression of gratitude of what God has done. It involves recognizing and appreciating God's blessings, provision, and acts of kindness. I just thought I should put those definitions there so that we can understand kind of like how praise and being thankful or thanksgiving work together. Let's move on to the next slide. So from the scripture we just read, I want to talk about those four things that is we read from Psalm 100 there. Now, the first part is, shout joyful to the Lord and come to in his presence with joyful singing. Enter his court with praise and his gate with the song of thanksgiving. Hello, church? So, you know, whenever we come to church in the morning, I don't know what's your attitude. I don't know what you feel. I don't know what your drive. I don't know what would have happened in the week. But when we read Psalm 100, it encourages us to shout joyfully. It says, we should not be calm. There is no need for me here to crank you, you know? There's no need for anyone to say, come on, church. It should come from the inside out. That is what that scripture is saying. You know, it says we should come into his presence with joyful singing. Whenever we come here, we should be a church that is known of joy. It doesn't mean everything around us is perfect. Maybe it might be so difficult in our lifetime to ever get to that point of perfection. You can feel good for a day, for a time. I think as long as we live in this world, there will always be challenges. So you can as well do yourself justice and just shout to the Lord. You know? And you mustn't be false. And you mustn't. It should come from inside out. So whenever I wake up, I taught Rebecca this. She didn't know this. Every day I wake up, I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And Rebecca is an introvert. She goes, wait. I need my quietness. I am like, come on, I'm saying this scripture. We should rejoice and be glad in it. What am I doing? I am setting a tone for the day. I mean, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord says, this is the attitude we need to have. You know, because the Bible encourages us to do that. It says, enter his courts with praise and his gates with a song of thanksgiving. That's why when I studied, I played that song from Cocomelon. Sorry, I don't know the origins of Cocomelon. I don't know what are your thoughts about them. But I just like that thing. What are you thankful for? You know, when you come to church here and maybe your week has been in a toxic, heavy, things have been upside down, things have not been going well, but be sure to find one reason. Not 100, just one thing to thank God for. Hello? You know, so when you read there again, if you go to Psalm 103, David says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and what? And all that is within me. So God desires us that whenever we come here, he wants us to bless him with everything. You know, we used to say back in the days, with this every fiber of your body, with your every tendon, with everything that you have. You just want to come into the presence of God and just say, God, I love you. You are feeling pain. Things are not going well. Things are upside down. You say, you are still God. You are my King. You are my Father. And forever I will worship you. Hello, church. We mustn't be a church that sounds, and Taylor has practiced together with a band. They put hours, you know, and preparing for Sunday, praying, and then he starts a song, and people are like, hello? I know North Americans are like that, but this is what the Bible says we should be. North Americans are like, but you know, this is what the Bible says. Shout joyfully, shout exuberantly, with all your energy. Smile as if you won a lottery. Hello, church? Because that's the greatest lottery, having Christ in us. Hello? You know, so if you read in 2 Samuel 6 from verse 14 to 22, it says, oh, this is amazing. When I read this scripture, I was like, wow, I was almost tempted to change my sermon. You know, it said that when the Ark of the Covenant was returned to the church, what did David do? He danced. Can you imagine Joe dancing until Angela goes like, Joe? He danced so much that even his wife was embarrassed of him. Hello? I can see Dawn and Erin, their daughter is taking them there. You know, we need to be like that. If you're still here, church, and you can't even sing because next to you there is your friend, and your friend is not singing, or next to you there is your boyfriend, or there's somebody you have a crush on, then you haven't fully understood that. David said, oh, I see my wife, I love my wife, but I'm going to dance for the Lord. Why? Because he was in the presence of God. Hello, church. We need to do that. I'm not saying, church, we should face it, do it the way it works for you, but do it. Sometimes I have to hold myself back when I'm here, when the worship is just going. I feel like shouting. Then I'm like, okay, take it easy. You disturb other people. I like that. We need to be that kind of a church. You know, when we praise God from the bottom of our heart, from the deeper chambers of our heart, it becomes contagious. We have some visitors today. You want to leave them saying, oh, I want to go back to that church. Hello? Because people like, there is snow. You know, winter is coming. It's cold, but in that church it's warm. Not because of the heaters, but because there's people that love God. That's what God wants us as a church to do. This is a very practical thing. I know some of you might not have an energy as much as mine. Again, disclaimer, reminder, don't feel under pressure. But do it the way God wants you to. Look at people as if, you know, I don't know what the, or maybe the queen is just, shook your hand. Oh, sorry, the queen is dead. The king, you know, somebody, I don't know who you value, you know, but I am so sorry for saying that about the queen. May her soul rest in peace. I am so sorry. It's sleep of the time. You know, but that's what God desires to do. It will encourage our praise and worship. It will encourage somebody here who is supposed to be part of the band, who is scared, who's like, oh, that's it. When you sing, they don't respond. They just look at you like this. They're looking at you like this, and you're beginning to ask yourself, am I singing out of the tune, or what am I doing? Is our instrument out? Let's encourage that church. Just like David, dance for the Lord. So one day, just one day, a few weeks ago, actually, we were at home. I was just playing with my kids. I don't know what we're doing, you know? And then, out of the blue, Zoe raises her hand. She goes like, day and night and day. I don't think at that point I was doing anything God related. But you know what? Rebecca can attest to this. I was like, let's stop everything. Let's just play that song. We played that song and started worshiping. From a feeling of baby. What am I saying, church? As we saw that we are excited about this God. We have teenagers. We have young children here who are so unclear about this whole Christianity thing. Who are hearing one thing from their friends at school, but we need to show that joy for God. You know, so when you shout and praise God, when their friends want to influence them to do something wrong, the song kicks in. Day and night, night and day, let it stand. Isn't that beautiful, church? We need to shout, and we need to do it with gladness. We need to do it with delight. We need to be happy. You don't need to be serious. I know there are some people who are naturally serious. Again, I respect you. I like that's how you smile. But, you know, but you can do it with gladness, with delight, with happiness. And one of the things I wrote is that when we're shouting to God and we're praising to God, it's contagious. It spreads faster than corona. You know? But this is a better corona because it brings healing. Corona kills, but this brings healing. Hello? You know? Even if somebody's visiting for the first time, they're like, I want to go to church. Sometimes my kids will be like, Daddy, we want to go to church. we want to, you know, you're getting us late. We need to go. I'm always the one who delays them, by the way. I'm just taking the blame as the father. You know, so we need to be that kind of church. And we need to serve God with gladness. And if we do that, we're going to experience the power of God. You know, the Bible says in, let me double check my scripture. The Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 3, that God inhabits in the praises of his children. Church, it's amazing to know that God is with us. Hello? Are you with me, church? It's so comforting. That's why every Sunday, you know, I look forward to church. I look forward to praising God. Why? Because I know that when I shout, and if I do it genuinely, you know, without just putting up a show or trying to perform, I know that the heavens, they are zooming down on Christ Central. And God says, oh, how I love that church. And God's presence is with us. I can confidently say this, church, that we haven't fully comprehended what it means to have God with us in here. Like if you remember that when Don and said the other time about revival, he says, it should not be, I'm going to put it in my own words, it should not be, our worship should not be wishy-washy or fluffy, you know. It should be real. It should draw the power of God. Such that when we move, even if we're talking about revival, you begin to experience it. Why? It's from there. Because God inhabits in the praises, in the worship, in the thanksgiving, in the adoration of his children. I'll tell you what, one day in our life group, We just sat down and we say, I can't remember how many we were in that day. And then we played this song that says, Spirit, four people, Spirit, break out, break the walls down. And we were there, caught up in the presence of God, for 2 hours, playing one song. That was round about the week when you preached about revival, because you really feared something else, you know? And we were just there for 2+ hours, you know, at our house, just worshiping God. You know, like, if we really pour our hearts to God, Taylor and the team and Angela and everyone can come here and they can sing one song, you know, and we can just be caught up in the presence of God. I'm not saying we're not caught up in the presence of God, but I'm saying let's be more expectant. Because why? God inhabits, God dwells in the praises, in the worship of his children. So the other thing I wrote down is, we are his creation, created in his amazing likeness, and we are important before him. Church, have you ever realized that? God created us in his own image, in his own likeness, in his own design. Very important to focus. And that is what the scripture is bringing out. So, sometimes, if people are despising you, if people are looking down upon you, or whatever situation and you feel you don't belong, let me tell you, you are important before the eyes of God. That's what David said in that time. So that means you carry the genetic mechanism of God. You are the apple of his eye. You know, you might not be feeling it right now. You might be feeling, oh, you know, things are not in line. But you are his image. You are his likeness. He loves you dearly. He cares for you. Have you ever seen how my kids run to me? They run! Daddy! And they're excited because they know that I am their father. Did you see how Joe and Angela were smiling? I don't know whether this is the correct English term, from ear to ear, when their son got married. It shows that Joe could open his heart and say, "Hi, people, I am happy." You know, same for Angela. Why? Because that's his child. That's the same thing with God. When we praise him, he doesn't ignore us. With his children, he appreciates, he loves us. You see, when the praises go out, his glory comes down. Hello, church? Are we together? Yes. Can you look at your neighbor and say, "You're very important before God"? Come on, church, talk to each other. Say, "You are created in God's likeness." Hallelujah, church. I want us to know that. You know, then the other point I have is, he is a good Lord. He is a faithful God. Our God is faithful. I was encouraged when Adam said last week, wow. Sometimes you think you have walked with God, you have understood a few things about God, until somebody blows your mind. You know, when Adam said about when they moved to Nova Scotia, what happened, you know, but here they are, still holding on, still praising God. Why? Because the Lord is good. He's a faithful God. I was encouraged when Dawn said the other time, about their time in East Africa, and he showed us those pictures. Huh. I felt like I haven't really started my Christian walk. I was like, these guys, they love God. These men have walked with God. They have seen God at their worst times. Not that they were worst people, that's just describing the situations. I don't want to go into details. Says, "Wow, why our God is good." That's why Don stood up and testified, "Our God is faithful." That's why Adam stood up and testified. So let's hold on to him, church. Let's praise him, because he's a good God. You know, we can enter into a season where there is a backlash about Christianity, or everything happens about Christianity. But let me tell you, our God is good. That's his nature. Our God is faithful. We people can say, not him. He's faithful through the ages. He told Abraham and said, "I am going to make you a father of many nations." And he did it. He makes a way in the wilderness. He gives you water overflowing streams in a dry land. But he can also make a way in the midst of an ocean and make you walk on the dry ground. That is our God. Hello? Church, I don't know what you feel right now. I don't know what pains you feel. I want to tell you, don't run away from his presence. Faithful you are, faithful you will be. For your promises are yes and amen. He's a faithful God. He's reliable. He's consistent. He's ever present. When everything doesn't make sense, he's there. Always there. Can you please go to the next slide? So I wrote these things that we can be thankful for, or we can praise God for. You know, when you come into church every day, or when you wake up, just life on its own. Just have gratitude. I've already touched on Psalm 18, verse 24. When you wake up in the morning, say, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." There could be 1,000 arrows flown at you, but this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's have that second point, the other point I have there is we should be thankful to God for peace and stability. Need I say more on this? Right now, some people are dodging bullets. Some people are in dire situations. Some people, there is no peace. I'm not talking about just peace by yourself. I'm talking about the country. There's different forms of persecution happening in many different countries. But God has given us this country, Canada, this place where we have peace. Let's be thankful, okay? You have a reason to wake up and say, thank you, God. You might not be praying for bread like while the people in other places are saying, God, we just need bread for the day. But do pray to God and thank him for peace. In a place where you can park your car and relax, in other places, you go to church, there is security 50 meters away. Why? Because there's armed robbers, there's lots of things that are happening. But God has given us peace and stability. Let's appreciate that. Let's give thanks to God in this time and season. We don't need, listen to an African telling you that I'm coming from a country where at some point, even if you mention the name of the president, you might not know what will happen by the end of the day. I'm telling you, why? Because security was deployed. People, if you mention, if you protest, or if you say anything about the president that you didn't like, you would disappear. But we have peace here, and we have stability, and we have to praise God for that. If you praise God, God realizes that the church is grateful. At one point, Jesus healed the 10 lepers. Only one remembered to go and say thank you. So let's remember to be thankful. Let's remember to praise God for that. For natural beauty and resources, can you jump into the next slide, please? I want to show you something. Look at that. I recently visited a Cape Breton. I was blown out. I went with my wife and my in-laws, they're seated at the back there, amazing people. We were glamping. I saw in this place, we went hiking, I can't remember the name of the place. I just stood there and I found myself quoting Psalm 8. I was like, this God is majestic. This God is amazing. Look, I don't know, what's your favorite spot in Cape Breton? But I was blown out. I was like, this is beautiful. So, I'm marketing Cape Breton here. If you have not been to Cape Breton, next summer you can go there. Beautiful place. We need to thank God for that. Because there are other places where people don't have it. And since God has bestowed that to us, let's thank God for that. You can go there to my other slide. We need to appreciate and thank God for a community of believers and fellowship. Christ Central, I want to say this for myself and my family. Thank God for you. I came here, I think I'm in my 5 years, I've been to Canada. You are one community that has encouraged me. I look forward to meeting you on Sunday. I look forward to your smile. Why? Because you're the community that God has brought to my life. There's nothing that is so sad to be lonely while surrounded by people. I have not been lonely. I came here. I can bet just maybe Rebecca and a few other people knew me. Then all of you didn't know me. So I'm grateful for you. So we should be grateful for each other. When you see a new person at church, go talk to them. Say hi. Welcome to Christ Central. We're glad you are here. Because God brought us together for a purpose. God wants us to fellowship. God wants us to be a people that love each other. The breaking of bread must not stop. We should continue to be a church that cares for each other. I always try to talk to people that I think I knew in my mind, that I think I have not met. I always run, hi, you introduce myself, this is fascinating. You know? And just do that. I've seen Joe do that, running around and talking. Because we are so in love for each other. Don't just come in, take your book, walk out, walk in. Talk to people. And if you're new, I remember the first few days when Adam came here. Amazing guy. Comes and shakes our hands. He started talking. 2 minutes, he invited us to his house with my whole family. You remember my extended family? When I had the two girls, exchange students, they're like, come, guys, we host you. I was like, oh, this guy. Hello? I'm not sending out tickets for you to invite me at your houses. I'm just encouraging us that we need to love each other. We need to value each other. Smile at somebody, introduce yourself. Say, I'm glad you came here. You're looking a little bit sad today. Make them smile. That's what God means. And God's presence is with us. We want to thank God for health and well-being. You know, if you read in Psalm 103 there, where it says, first part, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not his benefits. For he who heals all your diseases. I know right now, our healthcare system might not be perfect, or you might be grumbling. But if you ask these guys that have been to Africa, I will tell you, like, oh, you're talking about the healthcare. In other places, there's no healthcare. So your life is more on God than the healthcare system. So thank God for that. I'm just encouraging you, church, that as you come every Sunday, if you thought you had no reason to thank God for it, there is the reason. Those are the reasons. Pick one. In the morning, wake up and worship God. We are thankful. Our daughter just turned 6 years, you know. So when you see Ada, just say happy birthday. I'm like, I've been a parent for 6 years. And Joy is celebrating 20-something years of parenting. But 6 years means a lot to me. It's not easy to parent, right? So be thankful for that, you know. But there are times when things don't go well. We still praise them. I have a short video that I put there. Can you go to the next slide? I don't know if any of you have watched this movie. It's called Facing the Giant. Have you ever watched it? Yeah. This guy was looks like the video disappeared. But this guy was saying, he was coaching a football team and they were going through a torrid time. And he was having his own challenges in his own life. But he was, in this video, he gives the motivational speech to his team. He said, guys, if we win, we praise him. If we lose, we praise him. Are there going to be times when you feel you're losing in life? Yes. But don't stop praising him. Are there going to be times when you feel you're winning? Don't stop praising him. Hello, church? That's what God desires for his church. We win, we praise him. We lose, we praise him. Either way, we honor God. I wanted to make sure I put those words there and acknowledge that I got those words from him. That's the drive we must have, church. So, things will not always be perfect, but we'll always praise him. There is no one like our God. We will praise him, praise him. No one like our God. We will sing. Come on, church. No one like our God. We will praise him, praise him. No one like our God. We will sing. Yes. Yahweh, Yahweh. You know, we need to do that, church. We need to praise him. I am done, and after they finish singing, I'll ask Joe to come forward. I know it's a special week. The teachers, the professors, the students are all going to school. We want to take time as a church and pray for them. So I'll hand over back to Joe. Thank you, church. God bless you all.